On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Punters Postmortem, brought to you by The Punters Show.
And they're off and racing, and there's a terrific line out of the gate.
Week in, week out, The Punters Show delivers winning product. Visit puntershow.com.au. Call 13 53 53 now to discuss all the weekend's racing with the best experts in town. Welcome to Punters Postmortem.
Nice to have your company on Punters Postmortem on this Monday morning. Hoping that your wallet is bulging full of cash after a weekend of backing winner after winner after winner. Is that a dream? Just wake me up. Godolphin Filly, very, very impressive at Rosehill Gardens. We had the nine races. Chris Waller with the one winner. No one had a double. It was evenly split right around. Maybe the most impressive winner was Dublin Lass, $2.50 for the Snowdens. Now listed, Razor Sharp over 1,200 metres on December 12 will be the aim, then the Canterbury Classic and then the Target Stakes. While it appeared to be every other horse that won at Rosehill Gardens on the weekend, he's heading for the Villiers, which we look forward to, which is going to be on December 12 at Randwick, including the likes of Mighty Lucky. $21 causing an upset in the Festival Stakes, so that was good to see as well. And Matthew Dale continues on his winning way as far as the Tab Highway Series is concerned. It's his third win in the series since it started. Royal Jackpot getting the cash at $7.50 has now won 4 of 50. Let's get to our Sydney expert in Ronnie Duffacy. Hello, Ronnie.
Yeah, good morning, TK. It was another interesting day's racing at Rosehill Gardens on Saturday. Yeah. Look, this Villiers is taking a real shape. You know, you had Telepathic come out and win a 2,000-metre lead-up, which is always a good sign going to a Randwick mile. You had this real up-and-comer Happy Clapper lay Villiers' cards on the table. He's going to get in with a lightweight. And then we had the traditional lead-up with the Festival Stakes, where, you know, there was a couple of very good runs in that, including, I thought it somewhat may just lift off that run. So it's the Villiers this year is a free ticket into the Doncaster Mile, so it's going to be a highly competitive race.
Yeah, and I wasn't overstating things, was I, saying that virtually every winner appears to be heading towards the Villiers, but it's nice at this time of year to have such a feature race. Now, it's not a Group 1, it's a Group 2, Ronnie, but it's still a really good day out there at Randwick.
Yeah, look, it will be. And so will next week. We've got Michelle Payne coming to ride in Sydney.
Stevie Payne.
And Stevie, of course.
I reckon attraction. Stevie might prove more popular than Michelle.
No, he could well do, but looking forward to that. I think that's a good little promotion, that one.
Good promotion. Great promotion. Terrific from the ATC to get Michelle Payne up here and Stevie Payne up here and the Melbourne Cup. And just shows there is a deal of friendship between New South Wales and Victoria. Speaking of that, good morning, Dean Lester.
Good morning, TK.
Yeah, you're not going to miss it for 1 week, are you?
No. I'm very happy for her to be on tour. She's had a quick holiday, and I think she's back into track work today, and she'll be up there on Saturday.
Just what the doctor ordered for racing too, wasn't it, I thought? Terrific. And we should make the most of this story, I reckon, Dean.
Oh, I think you're right, TK, absolutely. And it's... Yeah, I mean, we've put it into historical perspective over the past few weeks. Now Michelle's back into work, and she should go, and she's a great ambassador for racing, and she should go to, you know, Metropolitan Meeting in Sydney, and even, you know, go to Brisbane and Magic Millions and all that. She loves being a jockey, and even early in the spring she was going up there and riding work for a bit of work and trials for Gay Waterhouse. So she's trying to... get up there a little bit, and of course one of her first Group 1 wins was in Sydney in the, what was it, the Size Produce a few years ago.
Yosei. Yeah, there you go.
And I was happy to read this morning, like, it's not just bringing here, she's coming here to ride, and I'm really happy with that promotion that our trainers have got behind it, and Gay, I think Peter Snowden and Chris Waller have all promised a little bit of support. So if they all give her a ride, I think that makes the day as well.
Well, there's no downside there, Ronnie, is there?
No, that's right.
You know, it's a good result for them, and it's a good result for Michelle.
Yeah, look, if she comes here, you know, there's no use giving her one ride and 100-to-1 chance. You know, give her a day out, give her a celebration day.
Yeah, which is terrific. Hello, Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au.
Morning, TK. Morning, Ronnie. Morning, Dino. Didn't go too dusty on the 101 chance he rode the Melbourne Cup, though.
No.
Yeah,
no me giving it that ride.
Yeah. I wish they would have given it to someone else.
That
didn't ride it as
shot
good.
Was no good for your book.
No.
Yeah, it only struck me in it. You know, I haven't brought it up, but, you know, Bossy Dino came out and said, I wouldn't disrespect the race by, you know, taking a ride on some boulder that was no chance. Well, yeah. if that was the case, we wouldn't have been talking in such glowing terms about the Melbourne Cup of 2015.
Correct.
Funny. But I understood where Bossy was coming from, but the great uncertainty of racing is what makes it so good, and the fairy tale stories that we have certainly make it good. And talking about fairy tale stories, this highway handicap, it's been a great success, Ronnie. And they're talking about the rise in prize money now from $40,000 to $50,000 or maybe even $55,000.
Well, I think although we've only been at it, you know, 6 or 7 weeks or whatever, it's stamped itself. It's getting numbers. It's competitive racing. I think we look at Saturday and, you know, we go down to ninth spot was 1.8 length away.
Yep.
There's different opinions from different form students as far as the result, what's the results of the races is it going to be?
Yep.
From, you know, trying to line up the different areas. It's a challenging race, and I think it's invigorating. I really do. I was a little hesitant at first. I thought, oh, this is only going to work once a month, but it seems to be okay as far as the way I'm looking at the race.
Well, mate, they found Royal Jackpot, $9.950 into $7.50, Glenn. So punters were pretty well spot on there. And Matthew Dale's stable always has a very, very strong following when he comes to town.
Well, I honestly don't think there's been a genuine blowout in the highway. Now, no. There was 12 runners on Saturday. 8 of those 12 had already run in a highway. So it's not as if we're getting horses that we've never, ever seen before. We can build up some form lines. Now, a lot of people will say, well, why do they only run for half the money that a normal Saturday race is, or less than half the money there? You know, why can't, you can't bump it up to the equivalent of a Saturday race because they're only running sort of class 1, 2, and 3 races.
Right.
And there would be a blow up there as, you know, why are you getting those sort of...
That's the reason for the difference.
Well, I'm only guessing that's the difference.
No, that's
there.
A fair enough point, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but they, week in, week out, it's the biggest field of the day.
Yep.
And
turnover's good?
Turnover's good because they're getting to see the horses every now and then.
Yep.
And I think you'll find just a quick look, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 of the 18 acceptors had won a race at their last four starts.
Jeez, Ash Jarter was a fair go in that, Glenn. It finished third. It was a good run. And so too was the run of Grand Proposal, who drew really badly in the highway.
Well, look at that. You're talking about the best runs there. That was Ash Jarter's third run in the highway.
Yep.
It's second placing of its three goes. That was Grand Proposal's third run in a highway. It is now 1-1 and been placed in the other two. So the form is standing up.
Mm. And Dino, do you you don't have a similar concept, do you, in Victoria? But it's a little bit different because your city trainers get to the country a fair bit.
Yeah, but the ninth race that's been added in the last 2 years, is of a benchmark standard.
Yep.
And usually, like through winter, it's about a benchmark 70. So you're looking at 2 to 3 win horses. Mm. So it does have a similar concept, and they run for 40,000 last season, 50,000 it'll be this year.
Yep.
So we see one of them this Saturday. There's a benchmark 70 over 2,400 for the up-and-coming, you know, style stayers. So, it's a similar concept, but as you said, a lot of the provincial trainers come in every week anyway.
It's not far, you know. We have a tyranny of distance.
That's exactly right.
In Sydney, it's quite a jump where, you know, the country tracks are so much more accessible there in Victoria. John O'Shea was quite bullish in his praise of Jasoni, Ronnie, and probably justifiably so, undefeated and with tongue firmly in cheek. It was nice to see James McDonald ride a winner for Godolphin. Only because he's been riding winners, but from my knowledge, they've been for everybody else.
Yeah, well, you know, that happens in stables, but I mean...
I'm only joking.
She is a really nice filly, there's no doubt about it. It's not as if she just, you know, emerged on the scene. She showed really, really good trial ability early on. She's always been a horse everyone's been waiting for to get to the track. She won a first start at Warwick Farm, and you thought, yeah, nice win. but was still raw. And then the same on Saturday. She's got those big ears and she gawks around. When she learns how to flatten out and, you know, just sort of pin the ears back and hit the line and a savage line, she could be very, very good. Very good.
Well, hasn't he said best filly in the stable?
Well, I think we should take note. I didn't hear that, but I think we should take note if he did, because she's he's got a little bit of, you know, something, a few to line her up with, that's for sure.
I guess you weren't so happy with it, Glenn, because I know there were a couple of very, very sizable bets on Jasoni.
Well, it's been one of those horses, TK, that's had a rap on it for a number of months now. And it also goes to show you, and I know Dino and Ronnie can equate to this, that as everybody knows, no one listens to any show that you're on, and no one watches any television show you're on until you make a statement.
Correct.
And James McDonald never left Michael Fraser out of his post-race interview on Saturday. He said, what about that Michael Fraser on form line on Thursday night? Said this was the lay of the day and couldn't win and everything. Yeah, no one watches anything. No. You wait till you make... Put them on the line and see what happens there. Everyone in the world watches it.
Yeah.
Always after the race, too.
Yeah, always, exactly.
Oh, and only if you're wrong. Yeah. And only if you're wrong.
Oh, yeah, but no one ever raps you and says, you know, well done, you found that 20-1 chance.
Okay. Ronnie, was Telepathic the best horse we saw at Rose Hill on the weekend as we look forward to this Villiers now coming up?
That's a hard call. I don't know whether she was the best. Who's to say that Happy Clapper mightn't be the best horse in time? Who's to say that, you know, the on paper the best horses were in race, you know, the best performed horses were in race 8. You know, the best horse we may have seen was Jasoni. I thought the best performance we saw was I Am Zaladi. I don't know whether she's the best horse we saw all day, though.
Right.
So that was a tricky question. But look, she's heading in the right direction. That was a... Honestly, I don't want to be too critical, but that was a field of Neville Nobodies there that she beat.
But she did it tough.
Oh, no, I don't think she did it
tough. Well, sat wide, but no, I guess was travelling the whole time.
She just fell asleep back in the field. I thought it was just a lovely patient ride, and she helps herself, you know. So a really good win, a really good win, and she'll head to the Villiers now, and she'll be, you know.
Another
one. Another one in.
Going to be. How many barriers they got there for the Villiers?
Well, no, it'll be a good race.
Well, in the Doncaster, they used to start 24, didn't they?
And with the wire across. Oh, well, how many with the wire across?
Oh, when I was going there back when Shannon and all that were racing, you know, probably up to 30-odd.
Shannon who missed the kick by 20 lengths?
Yeah, that was in the... I think you'll find it was in the Epsom, though, not the Villiers.
Right, right. Got beaten.
Did you lay him that day, Munns?
Yeah. I laid him in the run. we were innovative back then. Yeah.
Got beaten a nose by what?
I don't know. My old man ran second in an Epsom once, 1952, Sir Gene.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it wasn't that one.
No, it wasn't that one.
It
no.
definitely wasn't that one. No. Dublin Lass was good, Ronnie.
Yeah, look, she's just snuck under the radar every preparation. She's obviously very underrated. She stayed at 1,100, went from wet to dry there on Saturday. So she's two runs back from a spell now. We got this nice sprinting race every 2 weeks in Sydney over the summer period, and she's going to be one of the leading contenders. She put herself into a position there, and she just floated that last bit as well. She seemed to do it pretty well on her ear. She was always the winner on straightening when she stayed that close in the run.
Yeah,
I reckon there were some really good training efforts there Saturday, but, you know, none better than the Websters, of course, with Happy Clapper. But what about Trevor McIlrick with Got the Goss? That was his 14th run on Saturday. He's won 8 races, and he's won 4 of them first up and 3 of them second up. Mm-hmm. He'd only come to town before on rain-affected tracks and didn't really handle it, but he's he won the town plate. He was, you know, really sort of talked up in the middle of the year and then struck those wet tracks here, but it came back on Saturday to win. And as Ronnie said, I Am Zaladi, like, you can't believe she just sat 3 and 4 wide for the entire, and Timmy Clark didn't breathe on it.
She was impressed. She's got a real turn of speed about her, that mare, and she showed that in a trials leading into this preparation. And one thing I will say about her is that she hasn't just furnished yet either. She's yet, you can see the dapples wanting to come out in her, but they just haven't arrived yet. So she could be a little smoky for the fillies and mares race of the Magic Million Carnivals, the way she's come up.
That's going to be a terrific day up there on the Gold Coast. I think the richest day of racing. We look forward just back to Dublin Lass's victory there. I don't think I've ever said this really about that's a good idea, Ronnie, but was sort of disappointing, and that's a good idea is one of those ultra-consistent runners that you would love to look out your bedroom window and see in your backyard.
Yeah, like, well, on face value, I'd have to say, yeah, well, I agree. He has to be the flop of the day for a horse with his consistency, and he didn't show his usual desire to be, you know, roughing it up front there with him. I know he had 42 days or so between runs, and he'd had little interrupted prep because he went to Queensland to run, and it rained up there, so it was a late scratching, and he had to come home. He was ticked along with a couple of trials between runs, but that was hardly... That was hardly his form on Saturday.
And it was a different story, wasn't it, for How Much Do You Love Me and 50 Shades of Grey now on a firm surface, a good three, instead of the soft surfaces that we've seen them perform on so well.
I like the way he's going, How Much Do You Love Me. His form card says that he's not as effective second up as he is first up, and he was still within, you know, he was still within a length of the winner there, so he could bounce back quite easily. 50 Shades of Grey, well, she saw... One tough mare. That was her third week in a row that she'd backed up, and she ran another nice little race.
Yeah.
This is Punters Postmortem. Want to get something off your chest? Call us on 13 53 53. SMS 0419 767 272. Or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
At Moonee Valley on Saturday, the rail was in the true, and I think most runners on a good track had every possible chance, whether up front or down back, although down back and the run-on horses seemed to do extremely well there, Dean.
Yeah, no, it was a run-on track, TK, there's no doubt about that, and that's what happens when the rail's true there. They get up high on the camber and get up momentum and off they go.
Well, they sort of slingshot around the corner.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. And it's amazing, really, for an animal, isn't it?
I mean, it's not that much of a move, but like even when the rail goes to three, like we saw Cox Plate Day, it changes the dynamics of the track, and whether those further down the track, a bit like a velodrome, the horses up high get that real swing off the bend and just power home while the others are down closer to the inside.
Yeah. What was the most impressive? Master Zephyr looked pretty good winning the fourth race. That was over 2,500 metres, and again, it was Darren Weir, Dwayne Dunn.
Yeah, he was the most progressive horse at the meeting. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He came here as the travelling partner for Galo Chop, and he probably should have won his first run in Australia, and then he's gone to Darren Weir's. He was a narrow winner a couple of weeks ago, but Saturday, a bit of weight relief. He's only small, but a little bit longer in the Weir system, and he just... powered away, and it was the win of the day.
Yeah, what's the plans there for Master Zephyr?
Just heard Terry Henderson on Melbourne Radio, the managing part owners, mention that he's going to have a short break and be put on a path very similar to Tall Ship, who won last year's Warrnambool Cup, and that will be his target in the short term.
I'm on that effort that was super impressive on Saturday. I know it's this time of year, but would he be a little bit better than a Warrnambool Cup, or they're still hard to win?
Oh, that's the first, first piece in the puzzle to try and get his rating up to get towards a spring campaign. And that's, I mean, it was only sort of timing that stopped Tall Ship from doing that in the spring. He had a little issue at the start of spring and didn't quite get through. So, and talking of Tall Ship, he's going on to the Werribee Cup, which is a couple of Sundays' time. And then onto the bag at over 2,800. So he's having a bit of a longer preparation to try and probably help his rating again for next spring. Well,
Glenn, a couple of the boys in the office there started their Christmas parties a bit early before they went up with those markets in Melbourne on Saturday.
You're going to bring up Golden Maine, aren't you?
And Marley Magic, 50
yeah.
to 1.
Yeah.
50 to 1 Marley Magic and 25 to 1 Golden Maine.
Well, they put rubbers on the end of pencils, Ronnie. You know, everyone makes a mistake.
You're quick to adjust, though.
Oh, well, I think we said Saturday morning, Dean, because even Mark...
he had a crack at you. Yeah. At least it was before the race, man.
He had a dig. He had just a little sort of backhanded one there, and I think at that stage we'd average it out at around about $8 something. And
which one, Marley Magic?
No, Golden Maine.
Golden Maine.
And Marley Magic, I think, on Saturday morning had been averaged out at around about mid-$13, $14 mark.
Right.
But goes to show you, boys...
Shop early
to avoid disappointment.
A bit often,
Now, I'm not suggesting anything about those errors that you made, Munns, but Mark Hunter is flying to Hawaii today for 10 days.
Someone got the 25s.
Put it this way, he was getting on the plane and turning right. He's now getting on the plane and
1A.
Turning left. Yes, yeah. he's single digits rather than row 83.
Glenn,
yes,
hasn't the world changed?
What? You turn right still, TK, because travel Emirates.
Haven't we got...
Gets a bed.
Haven't we got... We now got punters like Ronnie... complaining about getting over the odds.
No, I just like to rub it into him.
Where in the old days, it used to be punter after punter complaining about you giving unders.
Yeah, well, I've never known a waiter that's got over the odds off Ronnie yet. And, you know, he still continually turns up there week in and week out.
He's not bad with the tip.
Gives up the same service.
I'll protect you there, Ronnie. You're pretty good with the tip.
He's better when he gets a sponsor.
I got 100-1 Golden Mane, but that was first up. I didn't back up. So,
all right, let's get to the open line, guys. Dean Lester, Ronnie Duffy, Glenn Munsey and TK, we are all listening intently to Renee. Hello, Renee.
Good morning. How are you all?
We're well.
That's the way. I just want to ring up and say thank you to Duff and Dino. There was a couple of there in the quaddy that I wouldn't have got had I not listened to Ironsy Lady.
Well done.
With Duster. And then I think... What was it? Something... that's right.
Ironsy Lady won the first leg of the quaddy. You would have been out in the first leg without Ronnie.
I would have. I really, really would have been done and dusted and sad watching all my other winners come in because I got exactors in every race of the quaddies.
My God.
Got trifecta.
Are you available between 8 and 9 next Saturday? Ronnie's going to take a bit of time off. We might get you to step in.
Well, I have everyone ring me already at my house every Saturday morning and the Friday and ask what's the best of your picks.
What is it, $5 for every 30 seconds or something?
No, I'm just a lovely person and give them all out for free and then bridging up at the end going, here, I won you some dough, didn't
I? Used to give out a lot for free.
Jeez, I hope you get a couple of dinners or lunches out of it, Renee.
Mm. Oh, yeah, every now and again, but it's that bit where I'm too much of a gorgeous girl to be going out with all them people.
Get Pope Francis on the phone. You'll be canonised here shortly. I'll just get you start there.
Anything else, Renee?
I had a great day, fellas. And
well done.
Kind of hoping that the last leg in the Melbourne would give me like a double quaddie, but we didn't get the dead heat with Turbulent Jet and Fun-Loving Written Up, which that was my best tip of the day, actually, to my family.
What, Written Up? It was $14.
I heard on Wednesday how they said, because I'd been on it, I think, the last three starts, and then I got scratched a couple of times, and it was like, on Wednesday I heard the trainer saying, yeah, don't worry, he's going all right. And I was like, yep, I'm sticking with him.
That was a really good one
when that one come in.
I think you'll find George Osborne learned his trade at Canterbury before he moved to Rose Hill and then moved to Melbourne.
So, and the Gold Coast.
Yeah, Gold Coast. He's had a few homes.
Renee, good on you.
Canterbury.
Thank you, fellas.
You're going to the draw for the $50 TAB voucher, courtesy of tab.com.au. G'day, cheers, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Bill.
Can I speak to Glenn, please?
Yes, Bill.
Glenn, what's the TAB's protocol for closing TABs, or what? How do they work out which one they're going to close?
Well, mate, I'm not involved in those sort of business.
You mean
decisions.
The agencies, Bill?
Hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
But I believe they're closing 22 in the state of New South Wales.
But what they do with what they have done in the past with a lot of those, they may have been closing standalone agencies and moving them into licensed venues in the same town.
Well, there's no licensed venues left in this town that hasn't got a bloody TAB.
Right. Where are you, Bill?
And they don't give any service. You go into a TAB, into a pub, and instead of having the sheets on the wall, they got the form grade dripped over the window near the machine.
Mm. Where are you, Bill?
Armidale and Tamworth, because the one bloke got both of them and must have looked, but it's closed anyhow.
Okay.
And, you know, what about the little old lady who won't go to a pub or a club, you know, that wants to have a bit of a Saturday? I don't think you're doing a service to your members. Or,
jeez,
you know,
Bill, I was up in Armidale earlier this year, and there's a couple of pubs I'm in. They've got really good pub tabs in them.
There's three pubs in a row near the tab, each one in each block. But who wants to go to a pub? You can't hear the damn thing in the pub. There's that much noise.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I say, the elderly people won't just go in the pub.
Yeah. All right.
And the other thing that, you know, why don't the tab announce now that they're going to close at the end of January? The only bloke that really knows is the guy that holds the licence. And yet if Woolworths are going to close the shop or someone closes the shop, they didn't announce it months before.
Right. Well, I can't help you there, Bill.
You can have a look at the service, some of the clubs. And I walked into the same pub the other day. He's got the sheets stuck up on the board, but he's got all of Sydney just stuck together. That's fine. If I only want to have one bed, I can flip them over and find race six, number six. Yeah, I'll remember to write that on my ticket. But if I want to have a trifecta or something and have three or four in it, I'm for now writing one ticket.
Right.
They get the same percentage, as I understand it, so why don't they give some service? Or if they don't give service, get rid of them.
All right. Well, as I said, a couple of pubs I were in Armidale earlier on in the year, they had really good setups in there.
Where would you be? TK, the St Kilda Hotel, the White Bull?
I was actually in both of them.
Yes. Well, they're only about 200 yards away from each other on the same side of the road.
And there was one other. But no, they're good. They were good setups. They were good setups. So, obviously Bill's not happy with it. And I know some people, with the change happening, with the agency shutting, then going into pubs or clubs, it's not everyone's cup of tea, but we can't service everyone. Good on you, Bill. You're still going to the draw for the tab.com.au $50 voucher. You're sort of a bit of an outsider at winning that, though. 13-53-53.
We have only had two callers at the moment, so he's still evens.
He's 50-50. He's about to become a 30.
If you were tossing a coin, he'd be even.
He's about to become 33%.
He's about to become no over.
Hello, Pete.
Oh, good morning, boys. How are you going?
Good, thanks, Pete. Good to hear from you, mate.
Yeah, good to talk to you three. And Dino's there too, make
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, don't forget about yeah. Dino.
No, I was actually going to leave Glenn out, but his ego's would be bruised, so I wouldn't do that.
No, don't do
thanks,
that.
Thanks, mate. Thanks.
Listen, At Rose Hill on Saturday, I just wanted to give... I was there, and I just want to give a wrap. I've been reflecting since I saw the first race and Rafa's choice.
Yeah.
You know, I've known Bede for a long while, but what a great result for Bede, and I just want to wrap him. He's a great horseman, and he picks a value horse at the sales. He always does, so... You know, just well done, Bede, and what a terrific advertisement for a value horse.
I think I've written it down here, bought for $60,000, Peter.
Yeah.
Rafa's choice.
Yeah, I think that'd be right, and he's a very game little colt as well.
Yeah. Well, very rarely am I wrong, so I'd say I'm right.
It's an I'm Invincible. Well, I reckon there's not that too many I'm Invincibles that can't go.
Well, it's out of a Schwassier mare as well. So I just want to ask Ronnie and Dino there, but also Glenn and TK. I think the way that horse raced, even though it won a 900 metres at its first start, I think the way it raced on Saturday, I think there's a fair bit of strength in that horse. It could well be a Golden Slipper horse. What do you boys think?
Oh, look, he's got a long way to go to get to the Golden Slipper. Look, I love Bede as well. He's a great trainer. He's a gentleman and tells it he knows his horses.
Well, he's had lots of good horses.
Yeah, and when he talks about his horses, he's one of those trainers, rare trainers, that you really want to listen to every word that comes out of his mouth. And talking to him on Saturday morning about this horse, he said, because I looked at its trial prior to its, I think it was 20s into, 25s into 10, at his first start at Kembla when he landed the money there. And he just trialled ordinary, but Bede said, no, I'd give him, he wasn't even ready for that trial. I'd give him another jump out after that, and he flew, we were confident, and then he'd give him another good strong push there on Saturday. Look, I think the immediate target would be in 2 weeks that English Nursery race. Now, they've lifted the prize money up for that race for $500,000. So
I think Bede won the inaugural one with Cut Above.
I think you're right. It wasn't worth $500,000 then, that's for sure. But unfortunately, his horse in the last Sure and Fast.
He bled,
so yeah. Hopefully we can get him back for the autumn.
But Pete, you're right. I mean, it's not a bad profile. Come out, win a couple impressively as a two-year-old, get put away for Christmas and come back and have a tilt. Because qualifying's always hard for the slipper, Ronnie, but he'd be the prize money's good.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's half the battle in a way.
Yeah, that's right. But still, there's a long way to go.
Oh, sure.
I'm not convinced that was the strongest two-year-old race we've seen this season. So cash in while you can, and that's what he's doing.
And a very, very good ride by Blake Shin too. He just dictated that race there and played into his hands when they decided to hold Genito up.
Yeah, that's right. And he read the play because I think he was instructed... Well, I don't think he was instructed not to lead, but I don't think they expected Blake to lead. So at least he used initiative, didn't he, when Genito handed up.
What's the future for Genito?
I think she's a nice filly, but it's just her
just
legs
a
are
big
everywhere.
Learning curve.
Yeah, look, she's so green.
All over the joint.
Yeah, she's just all legs.
And very, very difficult for those hit the ground and run horses like she did at Kembla. When you do hold them up, they don't go any quicker.
They're, and she just lost her action there.
Good on you, Mick. Good on you, Peter. Sorry, thanks for your call. And yeah, Bede Murray, outstanding trainer. Nice to see Bede with another horse. And yeah, I'm sure a $60,000 purchase. And
I think he only trained four at Wagga the other day too. Bede. Yeah.
He's always had a good horse. Oh, I remember winning a Molly Mook Cup for him. He's won 100 of them. on a horse called Sure and Fast. Would you believe that? So he's rehashed.
Really?
The name. Yeah. Mm. I won a Mollymook Cup for Bede, and it was on Sure and Fast. And he was a terrific old horse.
Must have been a good horse.
He was a good horse. A very good horse.
To you, or yeah. Just a good horse?
Both.
Yeah. Funnily enough, you remember those ones,
don't
you?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
You're listening to Punter's Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
This one goes to Dean. I don't think anyone else other than Vlad Djurić will be riding Montstone anymore. He's 4 from 5 on it, whilst the other jockeys are 0 from 14. Sensational tipping all weekend, Dean. Regards, eagle-eyed Phil from Dubbo. There you go, Dino.
Thanks, Phil. Yeah, and Vlad, yeah, he certainly does have a good affinity with that horse, and probably it was he was riding it at Peter Moody's, and now a guy called Mick Phillips has got it at Pakenham, and I think Mick might be Vlad's neighbour, so Vlad probably had some say in buying the horse. Yeah,
okay.
So.
Well, what about Nathan Thomas? Mighty Lucky's had 34 runs. Nathan Thomas has ridden it 32 times.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So if you look up the definition of sticker in the dictionary, it'll have Fred Cowell.
And there's been debates about that, because there's a Thomas in the ownership. Ah, oh, they say, oh, his family own it. I'm told it's not his family.
Different
it's
one?
Different Thomases. Yeah.
Just we were talking earlier about the TAB Highway Handicap, which is staged now on a weekly basis. Darren from Bargo, easily the best race on the card every week. So punters are warming to it. Big fields, turnover's good, depth is pretty good, and they're starting to line up the form. And I imagine the Matthew Dale stable is getting quite a following there as well. Good morning, boys. Hey, Duff, I wish we had one of those pacemakers they had in the Japan Cup yesterday in the Melbourne Cup. And Dino, before you go, well-deserved break. What do you like in the Kingston Town on the weekend? Cheers, Frankie.
And the Kingston Town, oh, a delicacy.
Yeah. Oh, what a run! What a run last day.
I see Pike's jumped off her to ride the 3-year-old.
Fair dinkum.
Yeah, which surprised me. I'm
so
sure.
So does Peter Hall go back aboard?
Yeah, I think he does.
Well,
yeah.
He had all the good success on it too.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah, he had.
Who rode her in Adelaide in that when she?
Peter Hall.
Willie Pike had done his shoulder, as well. At that stage, he was just having a shoulder operation. Yep. But Magic Artist with Damien Oliver will be favourite. Well, he's favourite at the moment for the Kingston Town. 360 Delicacy at 4, Real Love at 5, Perfect Reflection 550, Blackheart Bard at 8, Neverland 13, Belmont Girl and the 3-year-old there, Man Booker, who won the Sky Racing WA Guineas at 15. Blackwood and Hazabeel at 17, and I think you'll find the draw is tomorrow.
Okay.
For that, Greg Radley, I think, is there, and Malcolm Johnson, if not tomorrow, Wednesday.
Yeah, it's a good move. I was with Mal up at Hawkesbury the other week, which was terrific, and he said that he's going to do the barrier draw and present the trophy for the Kingston Town. So, you know, there's some race clubs doing some really good initiatives as well they should get a rap for. Hello, Mick.
I'm Terry.
Well, thanks, Mick.
G'day, boys. Dino, Duff and Mr. Munns. Ron,
yes,
a horse like Tinto comes down. He wasn't wanted, obviously, on Sunday, but how do you assess him? I mean, he'd have to be here for the Summer Cup or the Villiers. What do you think?
I would have thought the Villiers and then back to the Gold Coast for the race she won last year. I think she won on Magic Millions Day last year.
She won the Oaks, didn't she?
She did.
Yeah, but
she did.
In the Magic Millions, I think they called it the Stayers Cup, but it's only an 1,800-metre race.
Yes.
Dean, as the jockeys' ranks go, Nicholas Hall is still obviously not fit, and do you think Luke Nolan will ever come back? I somehow think he won't.
No, he'll be back. I spoke to both in the past week. Nick Hall will get a clearance to ride, I think, about the 10th of January. He'll be back able to ride work, so end of January. And Luke Nolan, he's hoping for his clearance off the back surgeons in about the week before Christmas.
All right, thanks. Have a good Christmas, everybody.
Good on you, Mick. Well, don't worry. It's not. We've got another few weeks to go.
Well,
so.
If Nick Hall comes back, I might back a winner, you see.
Okay.
All the best.
Good on you, Mick. Thank you for that. What did you make of Tinto, Ronnie? As Mick said, was sort of unwanted, 11s out to 15s. Finished way, way back, virtually last.
Look, so on paper she was disappointing, but I tell you, she paraded beautifully.
She looked well.
He looked in great shape, so I would not be putting the pen through it just yet. It seemed to be one of those races where you get now and again, they just blend and quicken at the right time, mm-hmm. and they just keep running, and nothing makes... It was one of them races where nothing made ground in, although I must concede Zanbar did make a little bit of ground after saving ground on the rail, but it was just one of those strange races where they evened the speed right out and just quickened at the right time and made it near impossible for the back markers. So I'd be a little bit forgiving.
And I know there's always been a rap on it, somewhat from the Godolphin Yard, but and every possible...
I like it somewhat. I reckon he could be my Villiers tip. It's either him or Happy Clapper. He looked well.
Yeah.
He showed that he's come back. I reckon he wasn't crunched down. He'll arrive in the Villiers with a lot less weight, and I think he could be the horse to beat.
You know me.
You're quick to sack him. Yeah.
They don't have to let me
the
down.
The poor bugger's had one run back from a spell. He's been beaten a short half.
Hold on. What about the...
He didn't come up
the preparation before, mate.
He didn't come up in those two runs last prep. I reckon he's back on track.
Looks like Tarzan goes like Jane. But anyway, I'm happy to be wrong, yep. by the way. Well, I'm not really. I'm never happy to be wrong. We'll take another caller. Hello, Margaret. Good morning to you.
Good morning, fellas. I'm an 80-year-old, $1 pensioner. I mean, a $1 bet. And the way they treat you at the Richmond... at the marketplace in the TAB, they're unbelievable.
Yeah, they treat you well.
They're absolutely well fantastic. And I'm only a little $1 better.
Good. Well, you're as important as anybody else to us.
Well, what's the name of the agent? Like... What's the name of the? You know the name of the agent there? You might as well give him a rap.
Oh, it's up in the marketplace in Richmond, but I just can't think of their name because I had a stroke and I forget things. But I just know they're top people.
Well, that's good.
Wife, yeah, they're lovely people.
Mm,
and Malcolm Johnson, oh, God, you couldn't meet a nicer person than Malcolm. he always gives me a kiss when he sees me, and he's just a beautiful person. I'm 80-year-old, so he's so nice.
Yeah, he just gets up there looking for people to talk to, Margaret, Malcolm. Did he tell you about how good he was?
I already know because I come from Richmond.
From the street.
Hey, look, that's terrific, mate. That's terrific, Margaret, that the guys at and girls, I should say, at the tab at Richmond are so good. Probably not as good as that lady who got the trifecta. How many hundreds of thousands?
Oh, I think it was 400,000. That was a Chatswood.
And, yeah, the lady tipped her into the horse.
Yeah, and then helped her fill the ticket out and everything like that. I hope she finished with something.
You guys will get a laugh out of this. My former co-trainer has just texted me.
What took him so long?
Music to my ears.
That you've sacked it somewhat?
Well, I can't stick with horses that keep on losing. It's too hard.
The poor bugger's had one run back from a nil.
What about the previous prep? I kept tipping it up a treat.
At least we've got a favourite now in the Villiers.
And unders at that.
Work the market around it. TK's potting it. You're guilty.
It'll bolt in. It'll absolutely bolt in now. Hello, Anthony. Good morning to you.
G'day, boys. I was just wondering if we'd talk to Ronnie about I'm Invincible, how good he's going at the moment.
Oh, how good is he?
And
is this Harry or Arthur Mitchell?
Probably Billy trying to get back in.
Yeah.
yes, Anthony. I was wondering if you could tell me what... I'm a keen follower of breeding. Can you tell me what the breeding of I'm Invincible is?
He's my Invincible Spirit. Just a good, fast pedigree, typical, suits our system here in Australia, real, you know, like speed, that's all
Invincible
he is.
Invincible Spirit, yeah.
Yeah, I Am Invincible himself was, you know, he was a really good-looking horse. I think Toby Edmonds that may have had him.
Yeah, Ray Gall owned it.
And then Peter Morgan down here.
Peter Morgan, yeah.
He ran second in a Goodwood to take over Target.
Exactly right. He's a real speed horse and a good-looking horse. I always thought he'd make a stallion, actually.
You got two winners again on
Saturday. What about you?
I just haven't got enough in foal. It's a bit expensive now.
Sorry. Keep going. You'll get a discount.
Sorry, Anthony.
He's gone up a bit in price, has he?
He has, but justifiably so too, Anthony. But
yeah.
The boys would be saying still very good value.
Yeah.
And I don't know of a horse.
A couple of winners.
Yeah. I'm not too sure if he could find a better return off a stallion at the moment.
No, he's doing a good job.
And he'd be killing that sort of stat, wouldn't he?
Yeah, and he's a homebred for Ray Gore because he's out of a mare called Canarel. Yep. Who was by Canny Lad out of Countess Padrill.
Wow, the old man Bazell.
And Countess Padrill's mother was Sister Padrill.
Sister Padrill, yeah.
Who was ridden by Norman Stewart Munsey to rename 900 metre maiden at Nowra.
We go back that far in the pedigree.
Yeah. And
by Cardinal.
Trained by Johnny Berry, and that was the day Daddy had a fall at Canterbury in the morning at the track and said, "This will win, you've got to drive me to Nowra." He sat in the car, never said a word the whole way down. Rode it, fell off it when it came back into the enclosure, had a broken shoulder and a punctured lung and was in hospital for 2 weeks. Do you reckon he thought it'd win?
I hope he got plenty out of it.
No, he just rode it for JJ, and that was one of Ray Gall's first horses, Sister Padrill.
He's been a good owner, hasn't he, all the way through, Ray? He's always had a couple of good horses, and he's very loyal to Ronnie Quinton there. He's always got one or two there, so, yeah.
Good on you, Anthony. You go into the draw as well. Wrapping I Am Invincible, and good morning to Arthur and Harry and Billy and everyone from Yarraman Park.
Hinchinbrook's going well too.
Yeah, and Ronnie and I'll be on the Gold Coast for the Magic Millions, boys.
But Hinchinbrook is, but it is going well.
Oh, it's going superbly.
You know, like, we're only stating the obvious, really, aren't we? Let's keep taking calls.
The old homebreds, the old colonial breds. Yep. They're still all right, aren't they?
Hey, boys, Malcolm is the king. He's like the king in Richmond, Jace. Yeah, he is. There's no doubt about that.
He'll tell you he is.
He'll tell you. Boys, easy formula for jockeys winners in Japan's staying races. Just make sure the sire is Deep Impact, Kiwi Jim. First and second with three runners. Yeah, well, that's it. It's just got to pick the right one, don't you? That's the thing with Deep Impact. All-time great, Deep Impact. I think that's fair to say, isn't it?
No doubt.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Hello, Kurt. Good morning.
G'day, Terry. How are you?
Good, thanks, Kurt.
Good on you, mate. Hey, Duff, Dino, Munsey, how are you, boys?
G'day, Kurtie.
Kurt.
That's a shot. Hey, Dino, dead set, mate. I thought I was the only one that found grain on the weekend. I waited for the markets to come up during Thursday Arvo, and I finally got on at a beautiful price. But I don't follow tips off people because I just go my way. I've always done that way.
Yeah, no one listens
but
to shows,
someone
Kurt.
Got back to me that does listen to the tips with you blokes, and he got on to me on Saturday. He said, well, Dino's tipped it. I'm just wondering, just for a bit of self-indulgence, Dino, like, how did you find it? I mean, you're an expert, so that's a stupid question, but I just loved the way it run last start, and I thought, you know, no one would have seen it, barring people that were there on the track or whatever, but how did you pick it, Dino?
Curdy dropped about 6.5 kilos off his last run. He's a Moonee Valley horse, and he was going to be the swooping horse in the race, and hoping that the rail was true.
Has he won on the track, Dino, though?
Sorry?
He's only won one there, though, hasn't
he? Yeah,
but he's never run badly
there.
And he's always had 60 and 61 kilos and big weights, and all of a sudden he was down in the weights, and those at the top of the weights weren't going that well. So he had a good chance, and he was a, you know, touch over the odds, and he only just got there. But he beat the horse that beat him last time, Trevinder, so they had the right form line.
Yeah, that's what I saw. And also, no disrespect to Matty Allen, he's one of my favourites. So I didn't think he had anything to do with it losing last time, that's all. But I thought Jai McNeil did a good job anyway.
Well, he kept him out of trouble. That's all he had to do on Saturday. He was three wide, but he just kept working into the race with a light weight, and that was the key.
And, Dino, just two quick ones while I got you, mate. Wildfire yesterday, anything serious at the gates?
I didn't actually notice that. I saw it because I missed the start of the race, to be honest, and it was obviously late scratching. So, I can't help you there, Kurt.
No, that's all right. And a first starter I seen the other day, Dino, Love Days, Clinton McDonald.
That was
at the pool.
Was, yeah. Look, it was as soon as the markets went up, this was just crunched. And so that was obvious that it was well fancy because it's trials. It had just set out the back and you had no idea how it went. But it went and won by 7 lengths and ran a bit of time and looks pretty smart.
Good on you. There's one to follow. A couple. I've got to give Kurt some credit. He's pretty well. He gives us some really good horses.
He loves the big margins. That's the one. That's and any time I see a horse win by 6 or 7, I think I bet Kurt will ask us about that.
You better write them all down. You know.
Yeah.
I love the beads of sweat that come out across your forehead when he goes. And Dino.
Just a couple.
Not as much as he's mentioned my name.
You've got to have Google or Racing Australia open at the time.
Yeah. Matty Allen couldn't have ridden 54 and a half anyway, could he? Yeah.
No, yeah. But the key was to try and get him right down the weights too. That was
I went for the mudgy results there, and I fell quickly.
We'll take a short break and then come back with the horses to follow.
This is Punters Postmortem. Want to get something off your chest? Call us on 13 53 53. SMS 0419 767 272. Or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Hey, boys, if the powers that be keep on increasing the weights like they have, Ronnie might get a ride and another winner yet. Yeah, well, the weights have been going up, and that has caused some sort of controversy. Let's get the horses to follow. Ronnie, you've got one for us?
Well, now that I've got a bit of start, I have to swing and go it somewhat. A bit of start that you're not going to be on, TK.
He's pretty happy, the co-trainer.
So am I.
Okay, so that's for the Villiers?
Yeah, I think he'll run well.
Is that market out, Glenn?
No. It'll come out when the noms come out. The acceptances come out.
Okay,
next.
Well, there's a lot of interest. So
Wednesday week it'll be out, TK, because only a Group 2, there's no advanced noms for the Villiers.
Of course, a Group 2, but this time of year it's like a Group 1, isn't it? It's a big grand final and a great day, actually. It's one of those really good days to get out there to the track. It's somewhat for Ronnie. What have you got, Dino?
Sistine Demon out of the race that Grain won, ran third. Probably could have won with a clearer run. He might be back to the form of a couple of years ago. He had a go at the better races. Just not quite good enough for Group 1s, but I think through summer he'll rack up some wins again.
All right. And O'Shea says, if the weights keep going up, Beedman might be back to ride it somewhat.
Well, James McDonald's got four rides for him at this stage at Canterbury on Wednesday, TK. There's a line you can put through a few of them.
Yeah, and
probably James McDonald.
Another four winners.
Yeah. Glenn, have you got one to follow?
I thought Abohar went good in the fillies and mares. It's eligible for a Class 1 race and went really good. Richard Lamming, it could bob up anywhere. Its next run. It could be in Ipswich. It could be back in Melbourne. But, geez, it went good on Saturday for a horse that's eligible for a much, much easier race.
Now, Dino, you're not going anywhere, are you?
No.
Okay.
It was news to me.
Yeah, we had a couple of people.
Your phone off?
Look, I'm going to...
I'm turning my phone off for 2 days.
Yeah. Oh, well, that is a bad line there. The $50 tab.com.au voucher will go to Margaret. Margaret.
Oh, she can have $51 bets.
She can have
straight to Richmond.
51 straight to the Richmond tab, and well done to the Richmond tab there as well. Thanks, guys. It's 10 o'clock. That is Punters Post Mortem for this Monday morning.